Kate Bush, 99.7 DJX. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me ask you real quick. If your name had a flavor, what do you think your name would taste like?
Had a flavor? Well, I know I'd want it to taste like chocolate.
Mm.
I don't know if that's accurate. I feel like Kelly Green, there's a Kelly Green color. So then maybe I taste like grass.
Maybe you taste like grass.
Maybe.
Is that the first thing that you thought of that was the color green?
I guess.
All right. So there's a guy in England that says he has a condition that allows him to feel and taste words and even more strongly, names.
He can taste names.
That's what he says.
I've got a condition called lexical gustatory synesthesia, which is basically where I experience senses through other senses with sound. I can taste, smell, feel, or kind of see sounds, particularly names. Maggie is like eggs and egginess. Henry, I imagine it being white bread.
Yeah, so he's saying like, if he hears
Henry's
the name
white bread,
Henry, it tastes to him like white bread.
Now, I've heard of synesthesia. They could see, like, sounds, like colors.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard of the tasting part of it.
No crusts, kind of soft, sort of something like cheese and lettuce inside of it. I love Bailey. It's like, it tastes like warm milk.
Ah, yeah. So,
wow.
So he's got a very, very active brain. But then he says, like, the name Karen, and I don't know if it's because it has turned into this sort of...
I feel like it has.
But he says it gives him a urine flavor, which...
Okay.
I,
how do we know what that tastes like?
That is my question.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you coming up with this? It's like, okay, all right.
I have questions, Henry.
All right, so if we just go ahead and decide that Kelly's name tastes like chocolate, maybe...
That's what I want it to taste like, but it probably tastes more like the first green thing that popped into my head, which was grass.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what Ben would taste like. First thing that came to my mind was sweat, and I don't know why.
Is it because you run a lot and produce a lot of that?
I just produce a lot of sweat, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
So... It is the Grass and Sweat Morning Show.
Do we need to name it?
I don't think we do. I don't think that's a marketing move that is going to work for us.
I wouldn't tune into that.
No, I wouldn't either.
I would be like, that sounds gross.
All right.
I'm gonna move on.
All right. So, hey, good morning, guys. It's hopefully your day gets a little bit better than tasting like grass and sweat.
I also don't want to think about my taste. That's not what I want to think about either.
Hunter checks in via text 502-571-9970. Says, I was thinking Ben would taste like candy corn and Kelly would taste like Skittles. All right.
Oh,
I guess that's a little bit better than grass and sweat.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. It's Ben and Kelly here. Let's get to a feel good. All right, Kelly K.
So this kind of starts in a very difficult place. An 11-year-old boy in Georgia kind of faced some challenges. His name is Teddy. His mom passed away last October.
Mm.
And then the day after Mother's Day this year, a car hit him when he was riding his bike through his neighborhood.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and his bike was wedged underneath the car. It was kind of like it's been a really bad chain of events for sure. He said a skull fracture, broken tibia, fibula, some road rash. It's kind of prevented him from getting back on his bike. And the cost for, you know, his treatment in the hospital has become pretty pricey. So Teddy is just like, I got to help out with all these big medical bills. So for the past couple of weeks, he sold lemonade to try to raise money for his medical bills.
Oh, wow.
And some police officers stopped by. Social media posts was put up, some local news coverage. His dad set up a GoFundMe. I set a goal of... originally, 20,000. Now it's been up to 40,000. So far, over 18,000 has been donated.
There you go.
So, yeah, just a sweet kid, just a couple of really bad things that's happened to him. He's just like, you know what? I'm going to try to help my dad pay for my medical bills, and this is how I'm going to do it.
Good for him.
Yeah, good kid. We'll tweet it out at Ben and Kelly Show.
As we all know now, love is dead. It's 99.7 DJX as Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson are no longer.
There's times like these where I question my life choices. I'm like, we have to spend time and energy talking about the breakup of Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson.
As usual, anonymous sources are here to tell us why.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly, age was a huge factor.
Oh, age was a factor? Okay, because I knew the whole distance, busy schedules, and, you know, she's got four kids and all.
Well, yeah, distance, busy schedules, and I'm sure that's what the PR people said, but yes. Pete is 28, Kim is 41, and as you said, with four kids, so they're in different
phases of life.
Exactly, different phases of life. He's spontaneous, impulsive, wants to fly her to New York or wherever he is, and obviously she can't do that.
And he has, I think, spoken about the fact he wants kids, and I think she says, I'm done.
But after Kim's, you know, divorce from Kanye in 2021, Pete was the rebound that I think she needed to just kind of move on. And, you know, people come in and out of your life for a reason. Yeah. And Kim Kardashian and Pete just seemed like they were so happy and great together. But yeah, I mean, as with all great things, sometimes it has to come to an end.
Right. Well, and then, you know, recently she was, she seems to be in a much better space with Kanye and their co-parenting and everything. She posted a picture with one of their daughters wearing like his new Yeezy sunglasses. So it's nice to see the support there. But Pete probably didn't like it.
Probably not.
You know.
And speaking of exes and so Kevin Federline is now, I guess, having beef with Britney Spears. Kevin Federline.
Well, she's mad that he seems to be talking about her relationship with their kids publicly.
Preston and Jaden are both Kevin and Brittany's kids. And she doesn't have any other kids, right? It's just those boys? Okay, yeah. So they are, and, you know, obviously he is, well, maybe not obviously, but he is spoken out on the fact that she posts a lot of very revealing Instagram photos.
Uh-huh. And she's been naked a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure.
And so Kevin's saying that the, you know, kids are having a hard time dealing with that.
That would be tough, though.
Well, sure.
You know, being a teenager, teenage boy, whatever, and your mom is as high profile as Britney is.
Yep.
And then as just...
and choosing to enjoy her newly found freedom.
Yes, as much as Britney is. So, anyways, a couple things there for you. Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian, Kevin Federline, Britney Spears.
I'll go ahead and make a pledge, you know, for my kids. I promise to not take naked pictures and put them on Instagram so I don't embarrass them. Now, listen, I can't promise anything further than that because I embarrass them on a daily basis with this show. But at least it won't be naked.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to have a subscription for that OnlyFans, right? You're just not going to give that stuff away.
Yeah, I'm not going to do an OnlyFans. That's not in the plan.
All right. Nope. Yet.
Yeah.
It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX, and this, the last week of freedom for a lot of, well, I shouldn't even say week, last couple days of freedom for many of you. As
Wednesday's a big day for us.
Yeah, I was gonna say for JCPS as well. So back to school, and we've got $1,000 for you and $1,000 for your favorite school or charity if you would like. It takes just a few seconds to get in to win, but we've got that for you up at WDJX.com. Click win, and $1,000 could be make it a little bit easier to head back on Wednesday. And I'm just excited that we're going to get some new listeners again. So
that's a lot of people be like, they're still here.
They're still on.
Yeah. We've been sleeping through the show the entire summer, but now it's like, we got to listen again.
Right. For sure. So I do appreciate the school districts that are already back in sesh and they're already on that train. So welcome back to it. But yeah, this is the last couple of days, and I know it's going to be a rude awakening for my 11-year-old who is she is going to have a hard time because of the schedule that she has kept the past couple months.
100% for our kids too. 100%.
She has not Had a bedtime that was earlier than 9 o'clock for over 2 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So same here. They're just like, it's so early, Mom.
Yeah,
it's not bedtime.
I know. So, anyways, yeah, if you want to win that, WDGX.com. Hey, coming up next, how awful would it be to train for a big race or for any sporting event for so long, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only to have the equipment fail.
Oh, I mean, you need to be able to depend on the equipment, right?
Yes. And your own equipment.
Uh-huh.
You're setting the bar story coming up here next. After birthday boy Shawn Mendes turning 24 today. You know, if you are training for a race or training for any sort of event, I mean, and things beyond your control happen that really kind of hijack your performance, man, that can be frustrating.
I can't imagine the frustration. So, I mean, I know you can. You do races and stuff like that. You train for stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But
I don't train.
But, like, here's the thing. This Setting the Bar story, sometimes it's not criminals that we feature in Setting the Bar.
It's just bad luck, unfortunate situations.
Yeah, and that's where we find Alberto, all right? Alberto is the star of this show where if you can manage to make it through the day without your junk falling out of your pants causing you to lose a race, you're doing okay.
Why did that happen? why? Like, don't we have these things secured? Isn't that normal for things to be secured if you're an experienced, like, competitive runner?
One for these seven men.
Now, you're not going to hear the commenter commenting on the incident.
Okay.
But Alberto was running in a 400-meter race. That's once around the track, right? Uh-huh. World Athletics U20 Championship in Colombia last week. And he kept having an issue with his shorts. Like, his little buddy kept popping out and wanted to see what was happening.
Oh, my God.
And it happened so many times because he had to adjust himself to get it back in. So it happened so many times, it slowed him down so much, he ended up finishing last.
Last place?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was... They're near the end of the race, he was just... He was just having a hard time. Like, like midway through, he was doing okay. But then near the end, man, he just, he kept
a hard time.
He kept having to, like, I don't know, just kept popping out. And hoo-hoo.
This is crazy. Like, he's at the World Athletics U20 Championships. That sounds like a big deal. Like you said, it sounds like you got to be really good to get there.
Yeah, well, that's an example of his equipment failing him.
We need to figure, before the next race, we're going to need to maybe find some new shorts. Do you wear jock straps when you're, I guess you probably should, that guy should.
Well, most shorts have like a little net inside. Almost like.
Yeah, apparently the net, not sufficient.
Being able to contain Alberto's
not
little buddy.
Not sufficient for Alberto. Oh, bless his heart.
We will tweet the video out. Now, It's edited, so don't get any weird ideas. But
You're not going to see.
No, you're going to see the blurred version of it.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll tweet it out at Ben and Kelly Show. You can take a look at that. It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. All right, Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show. So Cracker Barrel, they released a new breakfast item. All right, and to promote it, they just posted a little photo on their Facebook page of their new Impossible Sausage, a plant-based option for breakfast, right?
Uh-huh.
Post just simply said, discover new meat frontiers, experience the out-of-this-world flavor of Impossible Sausage made from plants next time you build your own breakfast. Pretty straightforward. There's another option. If you can't have any sort of meat and you want another option for it, Cracker Barrel is just saying, look, we've got Impossible meat now for sausage. Enjoy. Then we read the Facebook comments.
I mean, there were people who were like, listen, as soon as I saw this announcement, I ran. I did not walk. I ran.
We'll start with Kelly S. Oh, come on, Cracker Barrel. Just say no to this kind of wokeness and nonsenseness. Meat is meat. I ain't playing this weird pretend it's meat game. Kelly S., it's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to play. You can just order regular sausage.
Listen, it's a lot fine. Of people pointed that out, but no, she just couldn't see through the blinding rage.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Belinda. For those who want plant-based meat, welcome to Cracker Barrel. For those who prefer the traditional meat choices, welcome to Cracker Barrel. It's really that simple. If you really need something to complain about, Cracker Barrel puts a popsicle in a glass of bubbly and calls it a mimosa. Now that's atrocious.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Yeah. Thank you, Belinda. Jim M. on the plant-based sausage available now at Cracker Barrel. Good Lord, I thought Cracker Barrel would have more sense. I only eat American meat.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now it's un-American.
Now it's un-American to have plant-based. Oh, shoot. This is
Sam, I can't believe this garbage. All caps, I ordered the build-your-own breakfast with sausage patties, and my server accidentally puts this impossible sausage crap on my plate instead and didn't think to tell me until I had eaten the whole thing.
Oh, no.
Now, I've been going around all day demanding universal health care and respecting people's chosen pronouns. I demand a refund.
The unlikely side effects of eating plant-based impossible sausage. Yeah,
exactly.
Peter M., the fact that you sell stuff other than crackers in barrels is why I'll never go here again. Again, these are the Facebook comments on the post Cracker Barrel put up about their impossible sausage made from plants.
Robbie Rob. Looks like you upset all the people who can't figure out how to leave fewer than three pegs on the triangle game.
Mark V, all caps. You can take my pork sausage when you pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Oh, wow.
Don't tread on my pork.
Okay, yeah. He's again he is unaware that they are not removing anything from the menu. They're just adding a new alternative. Dawson, can y'all stop complaining about the people complaining about the meat so I can see their posts? More people are complaining about the people complaining about this post, and now I'm complaining about the people that are complaining about the people that are complaining about this post.
I'm telling you what.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah, just a couple more here. From Ann R. No thanks. I like my meat real and my men with chest hair. Thank you, Ann.
That's fantastic. Josh kind of sums it up. I often wonder if Mark Zuckerberg envisioned that his little project to rate girls on the internet would turn into a forum for thousands of old people to yell at Cracker Barrel for adding a menu item they didn't want. Absolutely wild.
Yes, absolutely. If you want to see and peruse the Facebook comments for Cracker Barrel, you can. We've got it posted up at Ben and Kelly Show. And I made a mistake over the weekend as I was being the roadie for my wife. My wife plays fiddle, right? And she plays in, you know, some bands. We were at a festival over the weekend and, you know, lots of crowd, you know, big crowd and everything. And so I'm carrying her fiddle like a backpack, you know, around for her. And we get to a spot and we're getting ready to watch another performance. And I start to take it off. And I clock this person that's behind me with the fiddle. And it didn't hurt the instrument, but I think it hurt the person because but at the same time, I don't think I hit this person very hard.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I was just kind of taking it off of my back.
Sure.
And it just kind of like bonked this person as they were walking behind me.
Uh-huh.
But I turned around and I like apologize, but this person like made a very almost like an overreaction.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh,
oh, oh, my like, God. Like, I might have to seek medical attention.
I know. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Oh yeah, yeah. I'm okay.
Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
I know. Like, I don't know if this person was trying to get a free beer out of me or what, but yeah, I felt a little bad that I hurt someone at this festival. So anyway,
you bonked them.
I did. I cracked them in the head. I don't know. Has that ever happened to you where you're minding your own business and, you know, I know you've gotten hit by a golf ball, an errant hit golf ball before, minding your own business.
Yes.
Sitting in a golf cart, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anything has happened to you close range like that.
I don't think that I have accidentally bonked someone to where I have to erase the consequences.
Yeah.
I will say I was the hero, an unexpected hero, and my husband called me a genius, which I don't know if that's ever happened, ever.
What happened?
So I was coming in and I saw there was a bunch of like luggage racks that people can use to move into their condos and stuff. There was a car key laying on the bottom of one of these luggage racks.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, someone's going to need that, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And at first I was like, well, I hope they find it. You know, I'm walking on by.
Right.
And then I thought, wait a second. Every single one of the parking spots are labeled with the unit number.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up and I started hitting unlock and walking around to see which car it operated. And I found the car, locked it back up, went up to the unit, knocked on the door, and this person was completely surprised. I said, I found this on the luggage rack, and I think you're going to need it. And they were like, oh, my God, thanks.
Oh, so you, so you were able to...
I got it right.
Look at that. You were able to
return the car key.
Return the car key. You
look at that. All right. That was about to ruin somebody's day big time.
That would have sucked for sure.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So we got this message from Tessa, and she needs some advice. Hello, morning friends.
Hi, Tessa.
She says, I'm planning my wedding this fall, and I'm wondering if I'm the jerk in this situation.
Okay.
My future mother-in-law is insisting we do a memory board.
I don't know what that is.
If you're like me and don't know what it is, I'll help you out.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tessa.
It's essentially a poster with pictures of family members that have died honoring them at our wedding.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, I told her I'm not doing that, and there's a time and place for honoring those people, and it's not my wedding. Needless to say, she isn't thrilled with me.
Mm.
I understand missing our deceased loved ones, but I think the photos and board is tacky and brings the room down.
Mm.
I think weddings are supposed to be happy, so why would I remind everyone of sadness of the people passing?
Okay.
I probably didn't deliver the message super nicely because I'm annoyed by her for other reasons, but I'm wondering if I'm going to hell for not putting pictures of dead people up at my wedding. Thank you.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess it depends on how much you want to push, right?
Like, well, I'm guessing I'd like to know, like, how many. Like, I've seen many other ways that people are honored, like, you know, leaving a rose on a chair or, you know, like handing out roses for the amount of people that are missing who would be there if they were still with us. Stuff like that. But I don't know if I've seen, I think maybe from what it sounds like, the biggest problem she has with it is maybe the poster board and thinks that, you know, just the display.
That's going to be tacky.
Yes, you know, gluing pictures on a poster board, but the wedding might not look as classy as she's hoping.
I don't think that we had any sort of memorial, like an in memoriam at our wedding. I guess the only grandparent at the time would have been my grandma, who had already passed on, but we didn't do anything necessarily for her. Specifically, so I guess I'm not in a good spot to say, well, this is what we did, so it's right. I mean, because it's your own wedding, so I go back to how hard do you want to push on this?
That's the thing, is maybe we can come up with some other compromise to mention those. But again, it would be, I think it makes a difference in how many people she wants honored.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if we're going, like, we got 20 people deep or something that we're trying to, and where do you cut that off?
Because,
you know.
All right. Well, this is where we need your help. And especially if you have an opinion or been in this situation specifically with it's kind of an in memoriam board or a way to honor those who are not able to be at your wedding because they passed on. I think that would be a good suggestion. All right. So let us know your thoughts. 502-571-99. Group therapy. Tessa planning her wedding this fall, wondering if she's the jerk in this situation where her future mother-in-law insisting they do kind of a memory board honoring those family members who have passed at her wedding. She doesn't want to do it.
On poster board.
Yeah.
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 And it sounds like she said that she's kind of annoyed with the future mother-in-law for
other reasons too.
Yeah. Which, you know, some people said, okay, is this like a pick your battles kind of a moment? But we've had a lot of great other suggestions on ways that you can still acknowledge those who would be there if they were still with us. And, you know, I think that's maybe the key here is trying to find a compromise.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah.
I've seen where, and during the service, there's been a candle lit. And just in the program, it said something to the effect of, in the far corner or to the right of the altar or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there's a candle lit. There's a candle in memorial of everyone that couldn't join us today, whatever. And then they listed their names in the program. And then that was it.
Yes, I was just thinking about that. That would be a fantastic alternative, a way to cover all the bases and then have to avoid the poster board thing.
Then you kind of have the religious part of it,
mm-hmm.
that you're honoring your souls or whatever. Anyway, just a thought.
Robin, so what is your thought on this?
Well, I have a lot of experience with this because I'm a hairdresser and I do weddings, mm-hmm. and I'm an officiant. A lot of people do a simple candle just to remember those who have passed. And typically it's people who have passed recently.
Mm.
And I officiated a wedding where their grandfather passed away like a month before the wedding.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was really, really
emotional, for sure.
Emotional.
Yeah.
And they had a candle, and they specifically asked me, because I was officiating the wedding, to put something in there and have a moment of silence.
A moment of silence. All right. Hey, thank you.
Got a text from Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
I've seen those memory boards at weddings before. They are 100% tacky.
Oh, no.
Not only that, but someone always gets ticked off if somebody is left off or the photo isn't flattering. So she says, do an ancestor place at the head table, empty space with candles and flowers. Honors everybody.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, I really like the idea of listing out the names in the programs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we honor those who we wish could be with us on this day and then list them all out. But again, you do run the risk of leaving someone out that someone's going to think should have been mentioned.
Well, especially if you don't go back far enough.
Exactly.
Where it's like you list this, 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 and this person, but then
right.
you forgot great Aunt Marge who
exactly.
passed on 10 years prior, you know.
Don't forget Marge.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of great suggestions of, I love the candle idea,
mm-hmm.
just maybe a blanket statement in the program. Our thoughts are with those who we wish were with us,
yeah.
with us in spirit,
yeah.
especially if it's a significant, like immediate family member, parent, grandparent. I love the rose on the chair idea.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great other suggestions on ways that you can acknowledge, but not necessarily like glue some pictures on a poster board.
Yeah. So I
and
think
have it right there.
What we're saying is a compromise here is what you probably need to do. All right.
Yes.
All right, Tessa. Well, hey, good luck with your wedding. Hopefully it all works out for you. And yeah, follow up with us after the wedding and let us know how it all goes. All right.
Congratulations.
And congratulations. I have for you a surefire way, according to a friend of mine, to tell whether your partner is going to or thinking about cheating on you.
Okay.
Now, I can't remember exactly how she described it because we were all drunk at the time, but
this sounds foolproof.
So it was my wife and a friend of hers from high school and her sister and a couple other people. We were all hanging out on Saturday night and
they're like, wait, listen, let me tell you, I know exactly when someone's going to get cheated on, and here's how.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, it came up a little bit more casual than that, but it is basically the nameaholic theory, okay? The theory that if your partner starts bringing up a name a lot in just conversation, and
okay.
over the period of, you know, a couple of days, several weeks, things like that, that is a person that you need to watch out for. So like,
okay.
So say I am talking to my friends and I'm just like, oh yeah. I was talking to Kelly the other day and Kelly this and Kelly that and all this Kelly that they would, that might be an indication that, either he has a morning show with Kelly K. Or there is something,
or that Kelly wants to be a homewrecker.
Yeah, or there's something nefarious about to go down, or has already happened with this so-called quote Kelly, if that is your real name.
Okay, so does she have like specific, like, did she have statistics to back up this claim?
So
or is she just kind of like,
no,
make this up
there
in the moment,
no.
and it sounded good, so let's go with it.
Because we were all drunk. I was like, you know what? That is foolproof.
So true. That you are on it. You nailed that.
Sometimes when you are your most enlightened, when you have some drinks in you, you know?
Things start to make sense.
No.
In ways they didn't before.
It was, she was talking about some guy's husband that they knew, and he just kept bringing up this person's name. And it was like, yeah, yeah, he was a nameaholic. And again, that wasn't the phrase that she used. It was a much more clever phrase that I wish I could remember. But again, drunk.
All right.
I don't really remember.
This sounds like a solid theory.
But what
burst in the night of alcohol?
What would you say to that? Being of sober mind now.
Sure. Again, I never really had to really worry about that.
Well,
I was cheated on for 4 years. Had no idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were no telltale signs.
So he wasn't bringing up her name. I guess this would make more sense if it were someone at the office, where
yes.
it's like a, okay, you gotta be careful of Margaret there at the office because your man keeps bringing up her name.
She sounds hideous.
She sounds like a slut. All right. So anyways, I just thought that was maybe a surefire way in our enlightened state. And maybe it's something that you can look back on or even think about in your own relationship and go, mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe over a glass of something.
Maybe this is someone that I need to keep my eye on just in case. All right.
Okay. See? Or it could be creating a bunch of unnecessary paranoia. But either way, let's try that.
No. At Ben and Kelly Show is a way you can get a hold of us here on 99.7 DJX. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, DMs open. Sometimes we dive into the DMs just to see, what you have to say. And sometimes it's an issue that you need help with.
Yeah, and so that's the deal with Travis. He said, hey, Ben and Kelly, got an issue I'd love some advice on. My roommate's girlfriend has been hanging out at our apartment a lot.
Mm.
They spend 6 nights a week here, and she's here when my roommate isn't around, but I am.
Oh.
And also when neither of us are around.
Oh.
When we renewed our lease, I told them I'd be willing to add her onto the lease as a paying roommate, but she declined and kept her own apartment.
Okay.
So I had a talk with my roommate and expressed my concerns. My roommate was very sympathetic, but essentially nothing has changed.
Okay.
Except now she spends only 5 nights a week here.
So something has changed.
Uh-huh. Now, I like the girlfriend as a person, but sure. I do feel constrained in my own apartment as I often find myself retreating to my room to give them space or just to simply avoid awkwardness when she's around and my roommate is not.
Oh, gotcha.
Plus, the not paying rent, but essentially living here thing just still irks me.
Okay.
Am I being childish or are these concerns legitimate? And if so, how do I approach my roommate again about it?
Couple things. One, I feel like this may have actually been me and my wife when we first started dating. She was hanging out at my place a lot and she had her own apartment. She was never there. She continued to pay rent on an apartment that she was never there and didn't really pay rent for the apartment that I lived in.
Did you ever consider having her move in and be a paying roommate?
No, I never did. And that was not okay. Something that even my roommate at the time, he didn't verbalize to me if that was a concern of his or even a problem that he had. He ended up moving out and leaving anyways. And so I was just stuck with the apartment for several months on my own as it was. But, I would be curious to know if she ate their food or if she contributed, maybe not money for rent, but in other ways.
Right.
Bought food for them or had food in the refrigerator. Because I know that... Elizabeth had done that before and would bring stuff over and leave it in the fridge for everyone. And so it was all right. So,
that kind of greased the wheels a little bit.
Yeah. Huh? I mean, there's some contribution there.
So did she hang out at your place when you weren't there?
No, I don't think that was ever the case. I don't know. Kelly, did you ever have any sort of roommates that were not non-paying?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had a roommate and her boyfriend stayed at our place all the time. Mm-hmm. He was not on the lease.
Mm-hmm.
And super awkward situation is when my parents were coming in to visit and I gave them at least 2 hours notice and they still came out in their underwear to say hello.
Oh, well, that's nice.
To my parents.
At least they put underwear on.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been in that awkward situation before. Couldn't wait to move out. And I think that's what happened. I ended up moving out.
So you, the way you solved it was, all right, peace out.
Yeah, I'm out. All right. Yeah. All right. Like I didn't see a way that situation was going to change. So I just removed myself from that situation.
So he said that, it sounds like they already renewed the lease. All right. So I was going to say, so he's probably under, some sort of contract to keep that lease to stay in that place.
And he's already approached this once.
Yep.
And then nothing changed.
All right. So let us know what you've done in this same situation, because I know that this isn't just Travis's problem. This has happened to other people. Kelly and I both have been in this issue on both sides of the equation.
Exactly. The question. Yeah, and I just kind of figured, all right, I think it's time for me to find another place to live.
Yeah. So 50257, Travis DM'd us. He's got an issue with his roommate's girlfriend living at their place basically 6 out of the 7 days a week. No rent being paid. In fact, he even brought it up to her and was like, hey, I could add your name to the lease. And she was like, nah, I'm good.
Nope, kind of like the current situation where I'm not paying and just hanging out all the time.
Right. So he's like, am I being childish or are these concerns legitimate? How do I approach my roommate again about this? John texted and said, my test is if she has a key, she pays rent. Okay.
Okay.
Got another message from a listener said, I consider it a matter of protecting yourself from your landlord. Depending on your situation, your landlord could decide to evict you on the basis of the extra person. So.
Oh, that's a really good one. Pin it on the landlord. Just
yeah.
Them, you know what? It's not my rules. Landlord's rules.
I was going to say. Right, right. Especially if the landlord pops by to, fix things or whatever, they could see that someone else is living there and be like, you guys are gone. And then got this message from Tom, who said, funny story, lived with a friend who was dating a girl that he went to high school with, spent most of his time with her to the point where the rest of us would just joke that he didn't actually live in our apartment. He would give her his keys from time to time, usually for small things, like if they were meeting at our place, she would be there earlier, or if, they were leaving early in the morning, he would give her keys so she could lock up when she left. For the most part, we didn't mind. But there were a few instances where we were like, dude, you maybe shouldn't do that. Like one time, he had given her his keys and she was in the apartment by herself. And while she was there, they got into an argument. And when he arrived back at the apartment, she wouldn't let him in.
Uh-oh.
It was in the middle of the day and the rest of us were occupied with class and stuff. He ended up locked out of his own apartment for about an hour before one of our other roommates came home, and the whole giving away his keys stopped pretty quickly after that.
I would say that would tend to change a situation, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. I like the approach of throwing the landlord under the bus.
Oh, exactly. Especially since you have already expressed your own feelings about it.
Yeah.
And nothing changed.
Yeah.
So now it's time to amp it up a notch by involving the landlord.
Yeah.
Whether or not the landlord actually knows about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So either compromise and say, all right, not 6 days. Not 5 days. If she's here 2, maybe 3 days, okay.
Well, yeah, and why can't he stay over at her place? If she's got an apartment.
Right.
Split the time a little bit more
equally.
Right,
exactly, exactly. And then blame it on the landlord. So, all right. Well, Travis, good luck with that, all right, buddy? Now, listen, we'd say on this show that there's learning that happens. A lot of it is organic. some of it is accidental.
Yes.
But some of it is also on purpose, all right?
And thanks to the internet.
Yeah, and this is one of those times. So we like to bring stupid fact of the day. Just random things that kind of make you scratch your head, all right?
Well, yeah, you found it on the internet, so it must be true.
Like an adult white rhino can produce as much as 50 pounds of poop in one day.
I'm sorry. Back to truck up. First of all, is this like a specific rare rhino? Because correct me if I'm wrong, most of the rhinos I've seen are gray.
Yeah, I
are they not producing as much poop?
Maybe not.
As a white rhino?
I know.
I've never seen a white rhino.
White rhino is called a white rhino even though it's gray.
Oh, okay, good. So this is not like an albino rhino.
Right, no, oh, not an albino rhino.
That is way fun to say, though.
Yeah.
There's albino-like alligators, right? Yeah.
It still looks like a kind of a normal rhino.
I need to see an albino rhino, though. That's fun to say.
I wonder if they do have albinos in the rhino species.
Okay. Is there such a thing?
While you're doing that,
albino rhino.
I happen
we
to.
We don't really need to.
Well, this is the sound of. They're very quiet when they mate.
Oh, great. That's great.
Rhinos mating.
They're gentle lovers.
They're gentle lovers. And oh my gosh.
Whoa. They're not small animals.
In any way.
Okay. All right. All right. How many views on this?
1 million.
Wow.
And it's a verified video, so that's why. Wow.
Too much learning. That's too much learning.
I shouldn't have YouTubed
that. Look away.
That.
Why are you still looking? You're still looking.
I shouldn't
You're
have.
You're staring, really.
He's done.
They want their privacy.
He's done.
Okay.
Kelly,
oh,
they wow. did. They did not want their privacy because they did it right in front of the tourists. So.
Oh, wow. You know? They're just putting on a show. They're like, hey, you see these people? Let's give them a show.
All right. So once again, stupid fact of the day. An adult white rhino can produce as much as 50 pounds of poop in one day. And they wow. are gentle lovers.
Oh, that's great. So much great learning.
Yep. Now, normally, Kelly gives you feel-good stories, and I'll let her do her real feel-good story coming up here in just a few minutes, all right?
You had a bonus.
But I did want to do a bonus feel-good story all in honor of Katrina Perez. She's a 99-year-old grandmother in this small Mexican town, and she recently passed away. You know, when someone passes away, a lot of times you honor who they are and or you do things that they loved in honor of this person, right?
Well, or sometimes they had a final wish.
Yeah.
And you feel the need to carry that out.
Exactly. Katrina had a fascination with one certain thing and wanted her family to preserve this on her tombstone.
A 99-year-old legend from Mexico has passed away, but luckily her unique dying wish has been met.
Okay. So family scraped together some money and were able to provide the tombstone Katrina requested.
She wanted to have a giant penis installed on top of her grave.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh no. Grandma
had a fascination with that.
This thing is 5.5 foot tall.
And yes, she got that wish. Her family unveiled the completed monument mounted on her tomb at a cemetery in Mexico this past weekend as recognition of her love and joy for life.
Yes, and as you said, it is large.
600 pounds.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you had to have like probably a crane put this thing in place. OMG, and it's pink.
I know it's. I mean, what color would you think?
Kudos to the sculptor because the attention to detail is stunning.
It was. They did a really good job of making her wish.
It's realistic
into reality.
Yeah, and apparently the artist said it was the strangest thing they've ever built, but wasn't really surprising knowing Katrina. Apparently she wrote taboos quite a bit.
Yeah.
Kind of like in her wheelhouse, like, yep, nope, that makes sense. Let's honor
Katrina. Good for you!
So yeah, the feel good in this, Katrina got her dying wish.
Yeah, Katrina, yes, she did.
Yeah. Oh. Katrina got her dying wish. And,
oh, she did. I bet she is smiling down in approval, saying, yes. Yep, that's exactly what I wanted.
100%.
Thank you so much.
And so there you go. A little bonus feel good for you.
That's great.
We'll tweet out the story at Ben and Kelly Show, but just know that there are photos.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that would be the reason to click on it. Yeah, for sure.
With us, okay. Which is great.
Kelly K.
So unlike the last story we just had,
mm-hmm.
Matt, he's 27, lives in Arizona, wanted to do something really special for his mom. His mom, Melanie,
mm-hmm.
was diagnosed with a benign tumor on her pituitary gland in 2003.
Okay.
Now, this wasn't cancer, but it was in the wrong place. And the pituitary kind of, you know, sends signals to your body for certain things to happen. And it was smashing these important things that the pituitary was supposed to be doing in her body, so it had to go.
Okay.
She underwent two surgeries to remove it between 2003 and 2006, but it came back in 2017.
Oh.
So doctors said, all right, next step is radiation. Well, she lost all of her hair about 3 months later, including her eyebrows and her eyelashes. The doctor told her the radiation killed her pituitary, so her hair would not be coming back.
Oh.
So when Matt was home from college and his parents said, you know what, your hair's getting a little long, he kind of came up with an idea. He let it grow for 2 years so he could get it cut for a wig for her.
It's the same color. It's the same style. It's roughly the same length. So I don't even see it as my hair anymore.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she said it's fabulous. Just, it's such a gift of love. She said, I feel like I look beautiful.
Mm.
And it's really great. It's soft and it's real hair.
Yeah, it's her son's hair.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
So you can see the story.
It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 EJX. All right, setting the bar stories are what, Kelly?
Examples of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, this is definitely a what not to do. YouTube is a great tool. It's great to watch videos, unboxing videos. You can watch people play video games like my daughter does on YouTube.
You can learn how to do a lot of DIY things.
Yes, exactly. So, but if you can manage to make it through the day without performing surgery on yourself after learning about it on YouTube, you're doing okay.
What kind of surgery are we performing?
Nose job.
Okay.
So this guy ended up in the ER, surprise, surprise, because he watched a YouTube tutorial on how to give a nose job, and it didn't go well. Now,
oh my gosh.
Apparently, YouTube tries to remove these videos, like these kind of do-it-yourself surgery videos.
But they didn't see this one in time, this guy did?
You're right, exactly. This guy was a little quicker to the punch than they were. But,
oh gosh.
Yeah, so apparently this guy wound up in the ER, his nose was all jacked up and infected. And
he did this to himself. I was thinking first off that he was like, oh, buddy wanted one. He's like, I'll learn how to do it on YouTube. I got you covered. I'm going to save you a couple bucks. But no, he did. How in the world did he think he could survive that kind of pain on himself?
Well, he used an anesthetic that he got from the vet. So there you go.
Okay.
So there you go. All right.
It's going to numb that up a little bit. It's going to be fine.
Right, right. Exactly. So again, setting the bar. Wow. You know, YouTube can be a great tool for many things, but learning how to do surgery, probably not one of them. All right.
Well, you know what? And I've never really seen an experienced surgeon who went to medical school and everything perform surgery on themselves.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without performing surgery on yourself after learning how to do it on YouTube. I mean, tie a bow tie? Yes. Do rhinoplasty? Sure. No.
No. Even repair a wall. Like, you've got a hole in your wall, you can find out how to plaster it on there.
That's right.
They'll even tell you how to do it at Home Depot, but let's not learn surgery.
Yep. So. That is setting the bar. 99.7 DJX. Jack Harlow. 99.7 DJX. Kelly, if I throw the name Woody Harrelson out, you would probably know who I'm talking about.
Famous actor. He's been in a lot of things.
Yeah.
In, you know, probably most notably the, Jennifer Lawrence, where she played Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, in the Hunger Games. Yeah. He was in the Hunger Games. He was in White Men Can't Jump, the original that Jack Harlow is redoing. He was in the sitcom Cheers from long, long, long time ago.
Yeah, he's had a very long career, done lots of projects.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a mom in Ireland who shared a photo of her baby. Little baby girl, precious. But she's like, why does my baby look exactly like Woody Harrelson? and when you see this kid side by side, you're like, oh my gosh.
Oh, she's not wrong.
Right.
She's not wrong at all.
Now Woody
is spot on.
Woody wound up seeing it, and he actually responded in a pretty cool way. He wrote a little poem and said on Instagram, "You're an adorable child, flattered to be compared, and you have a wonderful smile. I wish I had your hair."
Oh, so adorable, little Cora.
Yeah.
Oh, she's adorable.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out. You can see it for yourself at Ben and Kelly Show. But yeah, when you're
same eyes and everything.
It's funny because this baby looked like Woody Harrelson. And when we were traveling as a family earlier this year at the airport, at Louisville Airport, there was like a little toddler that we were fascinated with because he looked exactly like a mini Jack Black.
Really?
Yes, he looked exactly like a little mini Jack Black, and we were just like, oh my gosh, staring at him going, oh my
just
God.
Fascinated.
This is so great.
Is that really Jack Black's baby? That's probably Jack Black's baby.
Right, for sure, for sure. So anyways, we'll tweet it out at Ben and Kelly Show. And if you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast. We got it for you there in little bits, and then we'll have the entire show up for you a little bit later for you to take a listen to without songs, without commercials, and all that stuff, all right?
Yep, just all the wonderful content.
Yes.
You know, love, and expect
that's
from
right.
Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
All right, WDGX.com, click listen.